All right, here we are. Welcome to episode 3 of The Drive to Stay Alive. I'm really upset right now. Just kind of like, I had something in mind and I don't know if I'll get to that today, but I'm losing it right now because I don't have enough time. And it really sucks because there's so many things I want to do in this world. As far as certain projects I'm working on or like people I want to hang out with and whatever like that. And like shit's just kind of going wrong right now. And that's all just like this professional like bullshit, I guess, like as far as layouts and designs and all that kind of stuff that like, you know, when things like look really nice, like on a web page, like it takes a lot of work to get it to look like that. And when you can't get it to work like you want it to, like you got, there's a big difference. You know, the imagination is insane because it's like inside your head, what you can visualize, the possibilities are endless. You know, it's like you could just go nuts. I mean, you're only limited to your own like creativity. And for someone like me who just like, my head's overflowing with ideas, you know, it's like, I would love to be able to put that all out in the real world, and I can't. And it's frustrating as all hell, because there's a disconnect. There's a trip in the wire between what's going on up in my head and what's going on like on a page or like the way I'm talking or something I write down. It's like, it's never gonna be as perfect as the way I see it in my head. And it frustrates me beyond belief. And the thing that sucks most about it is like, okay, so I understand that something like this is just really gonna frustrate the shit out of me. And so maybe then I settle for less. Maybe then I just go like, well, I'm never gonna be able to get it exactly like I want it, so I might as well just settle with like what the best I can do. And like, it's insane because it's like, you should never settle, you know? You should never settle for your best, you know? Like, you should always be shooting for better than that. You should always be trying to raise the bar and your expectations about stuff. Just because it's like, the minute you settle is like the minute that you like, you give in, you know, you compromise. You just kind of like, you're okay, you know. It's like, eh, you know, whatever. You just become like complacent in your life. And it's like, you should always be pushing the envelope. You should always be pushing stronger, harder, faster, you know, just like. And it drives me just unbelievably insane. And I understand a lot, like Tim used to always go through this, you know. It's like when he's like making a song, one of the reasons like in the later stages of his musical career why it would take him so long to get an album out is because he was never satisfied with the result. Like, there was always something, he could always record a guitar line cleaner, he could always, his vocals could be a little more like solid, you know. Or like a track, you know, the levels could be balanced a little better, you know. There was always some little tweaking that he could do and to get it to sound perfect. And once it was perfect, he'd figure out something else that, like, you know, he didn't like about it. And so I have that in me as well. Like, I totally understand it now, because I'm never satisfied with the way something looks. As soon as I establish like a benchmark for, you know, here's the quality I'm looking for, you know, 6 months later, it's different. You know, it has changed. And that's part of like growing as a person. Like, things you're supposed to change, you know, shit like that is like, you grow older and you gain more experience and all that kind of stuff. But when does it end? I mean, that's the thing that like, I don't know when to stop, you know. And God damn it, I'm so mad right now. I remember Timmy saying things like, things like, if I keep toying with a track, you know, if I keep trying to perfect it and everything like that, I'll never be able to release it. And that's so incredibly true, is, you know, the longer you hold on to it and you mess with it and you work with it, the longer it takes for you to get that, like, out to public consumption. Because isn't the whole reason, like, you make something so that you can show it to others, you can share it with others? That's the whole point of creating. I mean, some people create just for creation's sake. You know, like, a lot of the shit I do, like, I'm sure nobody ever looks at. And that's fine, because, like, I look at it. I know I do. And the other thing, too, is the fact that, like, I, like, fill that void, you know, by creating something. Like, I have to constantly be creative. You know, I think I dabbled upon this earlier, like, in somewhere else. But, like, I have this constant need to always create something, you know, or constantly, you know, just work on something. So it's like, so it fills my need, but basically the whole point you ever create something is to show it to somebody else. And so it's like, if I hold on to this stuff forever and I try to keep working on it and everything and never show it to people, then what's the point, you know? So, but another thing, like, okay, so I kind of try to find a balance, you know? And, you know, kind of, I'm not doing a very good job at finding a balance as far as working and editing and playing with things, and, you know, and it's a fact, and it's led to the fact that, like, I'm incredibly behind in my life. I mean, that's basically, I could sum it all up to just to my life, because there's so many aspects. Like, I mean, we'll start away with, like, education. Like, you know, it took me 7 years to graduate college. Like, I didn't do, like, the 4 years, like, you know, most, well, I don't think most people do 4 years anymore, but like, that kind of thing, because I was always constantly behind. I was always catching up. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I put off my homework for a day so I can do something else and everything. Then I was catching up on my homework, and then because of that, you know, I got a C on my test instead of a B, and, you know, so then I'd have to play catch up again because, like, I wanted to, you know, do better the next time to equal out for what I did last time. So it's like, I was always constantly behind trying to catch up, and that kind of just sums it all up. I mean, like, I'm 31 years old, if you want to move it into, like, you know, relationships and, like, everything like that. 31 years old, and I don't even have a girlfriend, you know? Whereas all of my other friends are, like, married and have children. Some even have two or something, or, you know? So it's like, I'm way behind on that shit. Because, I mean, some of my friends have celebrated, like, their five-year anniversaries and everything. And so I'm falling way behind on that. And the problem with that is, like, I'm probably never going to catch up. I mean, like, everybody gives all this bullshit about, like, you know, hey, there's somebody out there for everybody and everything like that. And it's like, while that necessarily may be true, the problem with the matter is that I never even make an effort to go out and look. Because I'm behind. I'm constantly I'm using my free time to catch up with shit that I should have done 6 months ago. And the reason I didn't do it 6 months ago is because I was doing shit from, like, 6 months prior that I was behind on. So it's like, you're stuck. I mean, I'm at a point right now where it's like, I can't catch up because I'm behind. And the only way to ever, I guess, really catch up will be just to ditch things. You know, like, say, for instance, like, you know, like, something I'm working on, like, Afterglow or something, Afterglow 2012. If I never posted the pictures and comments from Afterglow 2012, I could be caught up. Because right now, it's like, it's in November. That happened in July, and I haven't even started it yet. So it means even by the time I post the first day, I'm already going to be 5-6 months behind. So I could just choose to not work on that and to not share that with people. But it's like one of those things, it's like, why, I couldn't do that. I care too much about the stuff that I do and some of the things that I work on to never share it. I mean, it's like, it takes a kind of, like, better late than never kind of approach, you know, where it's like, yeah, it took, like, a while, but at least I finally get to see it, like, you know. So I drive myself crazy thinking, like, okay, I mean, and the thing is, too, I get all things 6 months late, and there's still some things I didn't do. And there's some things I never will do. I have unbelievably amounts of stuff that I always intended to do and can never get around to it. And it's just the fact that, like, I just don't have time. And it sucks. I mean, I guess, like, I choose that for myself. And that's the thing that drives me crazy. Like, the fact that, like, okay, so I gotta work, you know, 40 hours a week just to be able to, like, you know, pay rent and my bills and all that kind of shit. So right away, there's 40 hours in my week that I lose. Already, I only sleep maximum 6 hours a night so that I can work on, you know, all the shit that I have to work on. And then outside of that, I don't hang out with anybody. Like, I've basically lost all my friends right now just because I spend too much time working on my own personal shit, like staying at home, that, like, I don't have friends anymore. And then I still hang out with my family, but even that, like, I don't, you know, spend a whole lot of time with them just because I'm always working on my own shit. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy what I do. And I don't enjoy my job, but I do enjoy, like, all the shit that I work on, like, on my personal time. Like, if I didn't have something to do, I would go crazy just because it's like, you know, I need that hobby, like, it, or else I'd go nuts. Like I already talked about, you know, filling the creative void. And so I have all these problems. And this might seem trite to somebody who's, you know, doesn't have a job and just wishes they had something to do with their time. So it seemed trite to somebody who, like, you know, lost a leg in the war in Iraq, you know, or was just like fucking shit, like real life shit. I mean, this, all this stuff I'm talking about right here, like, I have a job, I have two jobs, and I have, like, a hobby to work on, I have some friends and family that I hang out with, and I'm complaining about not having enough time. I do a lot in my life, and I'm complaining, and it's really fucking stupid. I hate that I complain about this, and I hate that it bothers me so much. I wish that I could just be happy with where I am in life and, like, my place and all that kind of stuff. I wish I could just be satisfied with what I do and not complain about the shit that I don't do. And it really fucking upsets me because, like, I'm the last person who should complain about anything. Everything that I deem wrong with my life is something that I could easily fix. There's an easy solution to everything. Like, I don't make it public often, but I bitch about the fact all the time. Well, maybe I guess I do in my writings and everything like that. That I'm single, like, you know, and I'm fucking lonely as shit. Like, if it wasn't for my cat, like, I'd be alone all day, every day. I mean, it'd just be fucking sad. How much time I spend alone is insane. I mean, just look right now. I'm in my car by myself. Granted, I'm going to work and, you know, some people carpool, but, you know, I'm in my car right now driving and I'm talking to myself. You know, I happen to be recording it, you know, so that I can share it with people. If people actually want to take the time and listen, you know, don't know why. Just because it's like, I'm just an annoying piece of shit who just fucking complains all the time. But, like, it's the kind of thing, I sit and talk to myself all the time, like, just because, like, I don't hang out with anybody else. I don't ever do anything, you know. And so, I mean, it is just kind of like, like, stupid problems compared to, like, people who have real problems. And I have my fair share of real problems too. I'm not gonna say, like, you know, my life's a fucking, you know, bouquet of roses, you know. It's like like, I'm really upset that my older brother doesn't live around here. You know, it's like, I miss him so much, and I need him so much too, all the time, and I can't spend any time with them. That really, really sucks. So I hate that. I hate the fact that my younger brother's dead. There's no way to really get around that one. You know, it's like, every single day I just struggle with the fact that I'm never going to see him again. There's all sorts of things I want to tell him, and all sorts of things I want to share. I can't do it. So that bothers me every single day. I'm violating my number one rule. There's one rule I have in the car, and that's no crying. I always say no crying in the car, because when you're crying, you're not, like, especially me, I have contacts, so when I'm crying, my eyes kind of get all weird, they get all welled up and fuzzy and stuff like that. And it's like, when you're driving, the most important thing is being able to see. That's the reason why blind people, like, you know, don't drive cars. You do need to be able to see, because you got to watch the road and, like, you know, stay on track and all that kind of shit. And so my number one rule of driving is no crying. So I apologize if I'm breaking the rules right now, but I'm really sad about it. You know, it's like, just can't help it. And then there's Jenny. She's just like, she's great, she's amazing, but I worry about her every single day. I drive myself crazy worrying about her. And now my dad, like, I love the shit out of my dad, especially over the last couple years. It was weird, cause like, my parents got divorced, I wanted nothing to do with them, you know. It's like, and he moved away, and I was like, cool, you know, less is better. And ever since he's been back in town the last couple of years, now he's probably going to move away again. I don't want him to go. Stop over at his house like 2-3 times a week. Just hang out and do nothing, you know. So that impending change is really kind of stressing me out right now. As you can see... I don't deal with loss very well. Here's the reason. I put my keys in my wallet in, like, the same place, like, every day, because it's like I can't lose my shit. I don't deal with it very well. I also don't deal with problems like stupid things that shouldn't bother you. Like the website shit I was talking about earlier. Like, an image that doesn't display properly on a website. Somebody else would just be like, oh yeah, whatever, you know. It's like, so it's not perfect. But I sit there and I get all, you know, upset about the fact that, like, something isn't perfect, you know. Oh man, I'm just fucking losing it right now. Now I gotta go into work like this. Fucking hey, man. I don't know if we were just... Yeah, the thing I touched on before is about time. And the thing about time that just really gets me is the fact that, like, time is one of the only things that you're running out of. And it's a terrible, terribly negative way to look at it. But it's like, I tend to look at my life and just realize, like, how little time I have left. Or some other people, you know, a forward thinker would be like, you know, I'm 31, I probably got, like, you know, 60 years left. I got plenty of time to do all the things, you know, I want to do right now. And those are the people who tend to put things off. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that next year, like, when I got more time or something like that. And, like, the thing is, you never have more time. I'm sorry, like, someone could tell me to think positively all they want, and I'd just be like, it's fucking retarded, because you don't. You can't get any more time. I mean, medicine can, you know, help to delay death, and, you know, there can be, like, some pills you can get on, or you can have, like, some kind of surgery or, you know, medical advances to prolong your life. You know, certainly we've come a long way. But, like, in the end, you're gonna die. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the fact that, like, I'm running out of time, just, like, I don't know. I just lose it, because it's, like, there's so many things I want to do. And so many things I can't do because I just don't have the time. And I don't know. I really don't know. It scares me beyond belief, the fact that, like, when all is said and done, I'll have nothing to show for it. You know, it's like, I don't have... I don't have anything to show for my life right now. It just seems like one big fucking waste. And I'm sure, like, other people, if pressed into it, like, if I died today, like, people would be like, yeah, this and that. And, like, just, they talk about me. the way they talk about Timmy, or, you know, I remember all sorts of good things and the impact on me and on him and everything like that, but I don't see it that way. I cannot see my life like that. And I know that's my fault, and I'm the only one to blame for that. But it's just like, I'm supposed to do more. I need more time. I need more time to finish all the things that I want to do. Doing this stupid shit, like go to a fucking stupid job that I don't care about. It was my only my only benefit from having it is having some money so I could live in an apartment and have electricity to go on the internet. Like, that's my only benefit from having a job. Going into work, like, a day like today just seems like a really fucking total waste when I have so many things that I'd rather do instead. Oh, I gotta clean myself up. I'm just about to work and already I'm like fucking late. Shit. These episodes, I mean, I'm really, my point really is to be real about it and just kind of like pull no punches, just kind of really just be like, this is how I feel and this is what I'm thinking right now. But like, I really didn't expect, I didn't really want it to be like this. I don't want it to be like fucking bitch factor, because like nobody wants to sit and listen to the kind of shit that I just talked about today. And it's just fucking awful that I'm subjecting anybody who's listening to this to it. But shit, I guess that's just the way it goes sometimes. You really can't choose, you know, what happens once I hit the record button. So shit. All right, well, we'll see what happens on the drive home. But for now, that's first part of episode 3 to Drive to Stay Alive. And shit, if you got any time left in your life, just keep living, man. Guess that's all I gotta say for now. All right. Well, here we are. Heading home. I hope I've calmed down a little bit. Because, I don't know, between you and me, I think I kind of lost it this morning a little bit. But I guess that's to be expected. I did say that, you know, I kind of wanted to be pretty realistic and, like, what's the word for it? Just kind of, like, unfiltered, I guess? You know, it's just like, you know, I said, you know, pull no punches, I think was the word, I said, so. You know, every now and then, I guess that means I'm just gonna get, you know, pretty real, but hopefully I'm past that for now, because, you know, although it is meant to kind of, you know, be self-reflecting and just try to work out some problems, just don't really need to burden, you know, at all at once. But the main reason originally that I was gonna do this, this episode was gonna be about love, and, it stemmed from the fact that I went to go see the new movie Cloud Atlas. I saw that last week, Thursday. And, like, fantastically brilliant film. And if you haven't seen it, you know, go see it. I'm probably going to spoil it a little bit. But still see it anyway. If you listen to this and just be like, oh, you told me everything about the movie. Like, I'll be like, well, you know, you had your chance. It's been in theaters for 2 weeks. Go see it. But the thing is, like, the movie, it's all about, like, these characters, that kind of, like, travel, I mean, like, they're different characters all throughout time, but they have, like, the same soul. Like, it's meant to, you know, say that, like, you know, when we die, like, we, you know, we still kind of live on, like, in, you know, future, you know, like in other iterations, like of ourselves, you know. So it's like when you have that feeling, you know, where it's just like, oh man, don't I know you from somewhere, or like, didn't I meet you once or something like that? Like, that's really, you did meet them in a past life, and you know, you guys were friends or lovers or something like that. And so that's pretty basically what it's about. But like, the way the movie works is like the fact that there's like six different stories, and they're all like happening at the same time. So you get bits and pieces here and there. So it's a very kind of like non-linear way of telling a story, which is incredible because nobody does it like this. You know, it's like, at least as far as I know, like most stories have like, you know, beginning, middle, and an end. You know, it's like, and it's just one story all throughout. And you get this character arc and the, you know, the plot and, you know, all these like, you know, like the, there's a basic narrative structure, you know. This doesn't really follow that. Like, it does in a way, but with six stories going on at once. So it's like you're grabbing like bits and pieces of here and there. And it is a very confusing movie. And the way I summed it up is like, I was just like, 90% of the movie, I had no fucking idea what was going on. But then in the last like 10% of the movie, like, I got it, you know. Everything kind of made sense. And long story short, I like cried during the last like 20 minutes of the movie, you know, and I don't know why. Like, I mean, obviously you're gonna probably understand because like the first, you know, half of this podcast, I was like sobbing like a little girl with a skinned knee and shit, you know. And so I guess I am a very emotional person, and it stems from my creativity. And, you know, that's just kind of that side of me, because if you have the capacity to be really jovial and entertaining and, you know, happy and everything like that, you also have the ability to go really, to sink really low and be really depressed and upset and all that kind of stuff. And I really hate it at times, and I can completely understand why, like, actors and artists and musicians and everything, they do drugs and they drink a lot, because it's really hard to explain if you're not an artist, but it's just like, when you get to times when you can't really do anything like to stop that pain of like as dark and depressing as like your mind can take you, you need to do something to block it out. And unfortunately, and I'm guilty of this too, as far as like, you know, drinking goes. Unfortunately, like, drugs and alcohol are like a pretty easy fix to escape your problems. And so, like I said, it's no surprise to me that artists, you know, find themselves in that position. And But that's that. But like, as far as the Cloud Atlas goes, like, I got really sad at the end. Because the whole movie is all about, you know, like, you have these different lives, and, you know, there's these different things going on. There's like a war going on in one. Some, you know, like the ship captain, you know, like there's a bunch of people out at sea. Some things in the future, there's like slavery, and like there's different topics. You know, like you're a composer, you know, like, you know, creating like his last masterpiece. I mean, like, all these different storylines, you know, like, there's something going on, but at the root of all these storylines, it's love. And it's relationships and everything like that, like, within these stories. And what I figure to be the point of the movie is, like, that's what's important in life, is, like, finding somebody who you can share your most intimate, like, moments and times with. And somebody who will be there to love you and care for you when everything else just kind of, you know, nothing else really matters, love matters, you know? And I get it really just kind of hit me. It hit me really hard because, I've been in love before. At least I think I have. But with the exclusion of family, I don't think anybody's ever loved me. And it's just like, it really made me sad watching the end of Cloud Atlas, going, you know, if all that matters is love, does that mean that my life doesn't matter? Because I certainly don't love anybody right now, and nobody loves me back. Does that make my life pointless and meaningless and everything like that? So I was really struggling with that. I'm getting upset, you know, right now thinking about it too. The fact that, like, it's really just all for nothing, like, if you don't have love. And it's hard. I mean, this is not the first time this, you know, kind of topic's been breached, like, in movies before. I mean, look at The Fifth Element. You know, it's like, yeah, wind, water, earth, and fire. Wind, water, earth, fire, yeah. And then the fifth element is love, you know, because it's like, what's the point in, you know, human existence and surviving, and, you know, if there is no love? And so then, that having been said, what am I doing here? You know, like, why do I bother living my life without love? And that ties into the whole overall topic of trying to find a reason to live. Because, yeah, I know, like, you can say, like, you know, well, go out there and find someone who will love you. It's like, it's not that easy. You know, that's, it's not the way the world works. Like, and it's mostly because of the fact that, like, how could someone possibly ever love me unless I love myself? You know, you can't accept it, you know, unless you're full of it. You know, it's like you already have some love inside you. You can't accept anymore. If you're empty, you're not gonna accept it. You know, it's just a, it's just my, I guess it's my, just my way of looking at it, which once again is the problem, as we have seen earlier, the fact that, like, it is all me. It's my fault. Like, my way of thinking is just so awful. You know, it's like, it's no wonder that I'm just a fucking sad sack of shit, you know, and I go home and hang out by myself every night. Because I don't see the world the way that it is. And I see it in my own skewed perspective. So I just really don't know where to go. I'm lost, you know? So that just kind of really bummed me out. And the thing that sucks, like, it is supposed to be a happy, happy message, you know? Because it's supposed to be telling you that, like, you know, when there's nothing but hope, there's still love, you know? It's like, or if for whatever reason, like, life tears you apart, you know, you will find each other, you know, later on. Like, your paths, if they get separated by some, you know, means, as far as, like, you know, somebody gets murdered or something like that. I mean, like, something happens to destroy your relationship, you know, that, and there's still the love there, you know. It's like you guys get separated because someone has to move, or, you know, someone dies, like, tragic. I mean, it's like your paths will cross again if you have the love, you share the love between you, and that you're meant to, you know, be together. Your paths will once again cross, and you will be together. Maybe not in this lifetime, maybe possibly in another lifetime, but also possibly, like, you know, when we meet again in heaven. But it's the fact that, like, love can conquer all. And that's a really nice message. Because there is no stronger thing than to love somebody. Because what happens when you love someone, you just kind of, you give them everything, you know? You just really, you share. You're not just you anymore. You're us. And this is all spoken out of theory. Like I said, I've never really loved anybody, and no one's ever loved me back. So it's like, like, all my knowledge, you know, it comes from the movies. You know, it's like I'm getting this from watching other people, just like, who are in love, or, you know, a movie style, you know, stylized version of it, and everything like that. And just really sad that at this point in my life, like, I've just never been there. You know, I can understand if I was, like, 17, And, you know, just kind of like, well, you know, I'm still young, you know, it's like, maybe I'm a little shy around girls or something like that, and I can understand that. At 31, I mean, I just want to fucking cry. And, like I said, I really should do something about it. I really should, because, dude, I'm lonely, man. I'm just like, I think it's just, I just kind of feel like it's too late, you know? And I know it's not. It's, there's no way. There's too many documented cases of, you know, people finding love, like even, you know, in their 60s or something like that, or, you know, the fact that there's so many people in this world that it's nearly impossible for you to not find somebody that will love you. You know, so it's like, it can't be the end, you know? And like, this can't be it. Just by those reasons alone. But I'm really struggling with believing that. I don't know what it is, you know, just some people were just meant to be alone. You know, it's like, there is no other person for me. So yeah, I struggle with that. It's an everyday thing. I mean, like, trust me, I think about it every single day, because you can't get away from it. I mean, every like single sitcom, every movie has like a romantic subplot, you know, or like, you know, a romantic interest or something. You know, it's like the romance is at the heart of everything, and there's always a love story, you know, even in like movies where a love story shouldn't exist, there usually is, because love is a part of life and relationships are a part of life, or at least most people's life, you know. So it's like people relate to it, you know. And every time, like, you know, I go on Facebook and, you know, this person's in a relationship with this person got engaged to that person, you know, this person is married to this person, you know, this person has kids and everything like that, like, you're constantly reminded of it. It's like, it's just thrown in your face and you can't get away from it. It's, and it just seems like there's not a damn thing I can do about it. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I just don't understand why it seems so easy for everybody. And like I said, it'd be one thing if, like, and if I had a girlfriend, like, you know, hey, only every like year or so, like, whatever, you know, I was like, oh, man, maybe it just didn't work out between, you know, the two of us or something like that. Be like, well, you know, and I start, you know, I date another person. I don't even go out on dates. I don't even talk to girls. Like, I don't know what it is. I just, it's like I never, like, understood it. It's like, it's just not built into my DNA structure. So weird. I bet you everybody thinks I'm gay. I swear to God. You know, no one will ever tell it to your face, because that's kind of like mean to, like, you know, assume, you know. But I guarantee you there's people out there who think I'm gay. And I'm not, you know. I got nothing against gay people. You know, to each their own, but like, I don't like guys. But, you know, it's gonna be like, but there's, you know, you connect the dots, and, you know, people can make, probably use it in fur, you know, and I don't really, really want to get into much of that, because that's too fucking sad. Like I said, once again, not anything wrong with it, it's just fucking sad. So, yeah, so it was really fun for me all the time, you know, like, I don't know how many people are out there who are single. It's no fun to be the single guy. I think that's one of the reasons why I stay at home alone by myself, like, so much. Because it's not fun to go out and hang out with couples. Like, I'm going out somewhere tonight where I'm hanging out with some couples. And it's like, I'll be the fifth wheel or the seventh wheel or the third wheel, you know? But I'll always be that odd one out. And it really fucking sucks. Like, it just makes you just not want to do anything. And it's not encouraging. You know, you say, like, oh, you can use it as a point to be like, well, maybe I should, you know, find somebody so I'm not always awkward and alone. But it's like, I'd rather just go home and drink a bottle of whiskey and just, like, you know, forget about the fact that my life's so fucking pathetic and sad. And so it doesn't help me in any way to be the odd wheel. So, yeah. And here we have it, the most depressing, like, podcast. But it's one of those things, though, like, that if this is as bad as it's gonna get, then that's probably a good thing. Because it really can only, you know, kind of go better, get up, you know, get better from here on out. And if that's the case, then good. You know, like, I could use some, like, some good in my life. Like, I really don't have anything that I'd let everybody know about. And that's one of those things, like, why I hate, like, events, like parties or reunions or anything like that. I hate going to them. Because all of those are, especially like things where like you haven't seen somebody in 3, 4, 6 months, whatever like that, or years, all it turns into is like a bragging session. You know, it's like, here's my job that I work at, that I do this well at. Here's my beautiful wife or my beautiful girlfriend. Here's all my children, you know. And it's like, it just basically turns into like a show and tell of what you have. And it's all good and nice if you have it. You know, it's like, dude, trust me, man. If I had a hot girlfriend, I would never be away from the public. Like, I'd just be out all the time. Just be like, holding their hand. Be like, I'd be the one that'd be like, let's hold hands all the time, you know. Let's kiss, you know, every like 10 minutes, you know. Because I'd just be like, I want to show the entire world. Be like, you see this girl? Yeah, that's right. She's mine, you know. She likes me. Like, yeah, you know, go to hell because... you never believed it, you stupid son of a bitch, you know? Fucking doubters, you know? I'll show you, you know, and I'd be that guy. Because, fuck, I probably wouldn't even believe it. There's no way, like, a good-looking girl would ever, like, go out with a fucking ugly son of a bitch like me, you know? It's just, it's one of those things. It's science, like, and, because the reason I know is because I'd probably never go out with a fat, ugly girl. You know, it's like my vision of who I'd want to go out with is, you know, it's my standards are pretty damn high. And it's one of those things I don't fucking get. Like, for a person who is, like, the definition of low standards, like, if somebody, like, had low standards, it'd be like, oh, yeah, when it comes to choosing a partner, like, I have very low standards. I'd be what's under low standards. I'm, like, no standards. So it's like, for me to even have standards when it comes to like a relationship, holy shit, fucking plane just landed. I'm over by the airport. Oh, dude, that's so awesome. I come here all the time and just sit and watch planes land, or at least I used to back in the day. It's one of those things, I love watching planes land. I don't know why, it's really weird. It's one of those things that just centers me, man. I can sit and watch planes land and just be totally at peace with the universe. So maybe that's what I gotta do more often. Maybe I gotta come. Like, the same thing happens when I go and throw rocks. Like, I'll go to a creek or a river or a lake or something and just throw rocks. And for whatever reason, it just centers me, man. It just takes me to, like, a different place. like, aside from this hellish existence that I live in, this meaningless life, you know, it kind of transports me away from there for even just a little bit. So maybe I gotta do that, you know, maybe I gotta start doing that again, because I can't sit here, even though it's nice to sit and talk about these kinds of things and kind of get them out, you know, because I am the definition of, like, somebody who, like, bottles their emotions, you know. It's like, that's me, and, like you look up, you know, that in the dictionary and you see me. Like, whatever the word for is, bottles up his emotions and keeps everything to himself, and, you know. And I think, and that's why this morning, one of the reasons why I just fucking lost it when I started talking about some really personal shit, like, is because when I do get to kind of like a breaking point, I just lose my fucking mind, and I just kind of can't control my emotions, no matter how hard I try. So it's like, I am that kind of person. So in a way, even though this is, you know, fairly depressing episode that we got going on here, this is helping me in a way. It's helped me because I'm able to get this out in the open. And I can almost guarantee you no one's listening at this point. Because it's like, why? Why would you sit and listen to this shit? Like, if I found out you're listening to this shit, I'll probably yell at you. I'll be like, do something better with your life, you know? But I need this. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I think this will somehow benefit me. It's like talking to a therapist that doesn't judge. Because this recording device is not going to tell me, you know, what to do with my life. And if even anybody's even listening at this point, like I said, they're not going to contact me and be like, hey, here's what I think you should do. I'm not going to offer their opinion, you know? So it's like, it's a real safe way of talking shit out, but also, in a weird way, being held accountable for it. So that's all I really gotta say right now, man. My head hurts. I need some food. Because I'm definitely not fat enough. I should definitely, like, you know, eat some more. It's fucking awful. I just, so angry at myself right now. I don't know what to say anymore. I'm lost, but definitely keep on trying, I guess. Keep on looking for the answers. Keep on searching for the truths, you know. Keep on looking for love. And, yeah. If I find it, I'll let you know. Fucking trust me, man. If I find it, I'm letting everybody know. I'm gonna tell everybody in the world, if that ever happens, you know. Because, like I said, I see no fucking way it happens. So, well, I'm at my destination. That's episode number 3 of The Drive to Stay Alive. And, you know, like I'm saying, like, yeah, life's tough. You know, you might not have, you know, someone to love you or someone to love. But life is still the best thing that'll ever happen to you. And just still be thankful you're alive. Just, you know, keep on living life. Because eventually something's good. Something good's got to happen, right? You know? After how much shit that, you know, you deal with on a daily basis and over the years and everything like that. Eventually it's all got to even itself out, right? So we'll see what happens. But until then, you know, keep living, man. We'll see you next time.